Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a hump day. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory, and whatever you choose, a sales staff is there for you, and not just there for the sale. And the service department is there with many awesome technicians ready to serve you with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance that you need for your current vehicle. But now SMC is looking for more of those awesome technicians because the business just keeps on growing for SMC. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. So whether you're an experienced technician, you're looking for your first job, or maybe you're just looking for a career change, they'd love to hear from you. Stop by in person. Apply online at sunburymotors.com, or you can call Todd at 286-7746, all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Another busy show coming up today. Tim Brando of Fox Sports at 3:35. I always look forward to hear from Tim because you never know what he's going to say, what opinion he's going to share about college football, college sports. And he and Spencer Tillman have the call of Maryland and Penn State on Fox at 3:30 on Saturday. So we're looking forward to catching up with Tim at 3:30. Then we have a smaller version of our high school football roundtable at 4:06 with just Selinsgrove left amongst our SBC stations, teams that are left, Selinsgrove and Jersey Shore, tomorrow night at 7 for the District 4 4A championship game. All the playoff games for Friday night have either been moved to, most have been moved to Saturday. This game with Selinsgrove and Jersey Shore is Thursday night, tomorrow night at 7 on Eagle 107. And some games are, there's a game at Saturday night too because of the impending rainy weather coming from Tropical Rainstorm Nicole, which is going to be a hurricane about to hit Florida probably by early morning tomorrow. So PIAA District 4 just kind of working ahead a little bit, make sure we have better playing conditions. Not have to play in the torrential downpours and maybe some wind. We'll have to see how the storm comes. So that's the situation there with that. So we'll talk to Zach Showers at 4:06 about that with the Seals. So we got a lot going on today. On Friday, we have a heck of a football Friday. Alex Guzora, SteelersDepot.com, going to join us. Steelers back in action from the bye week, hosting the New Orleans Saints, who are coming off the loss to the Ravens on Monday night. He'll be at 3:35 on Friday. And Johnny Holiday, the one and only Johnny Holiday, at 4:06, the voice of the Terps, to get you set for Penn State, Maryland. And then the King for our picks. So we got a lot going on. And getting into Penn State men's basketball, it continues to be a tremendous opening week for the program. They look good in the win against Winthrop. They got Loyola, Maryland tomorrow night here on WKOK at 7. And they have signed three key guys for next year, including Braden Shrewsbury, the son of Micah Shrewsbury. This is very, very cool. Because of, obviously, the family connection. But he's a pretty good basketball player, too. He was an ESPN four-star prospect, ranked number 33 shooting guard in the 2023 class, number 4 player in the state of Pennsylvania per 24/7 Sports.
That's, talking about Braden?
Yes, that is pretty exciting. This is pretty neat.
No, Braden is... Look, I've seen him take a lot of shots. He can shoot. I've seen him take a lot of shots. He can shoot. Kerry Booth is a fabulous pickup. Obviously, he's the centerpiece of this. And I remember seeing Calvin with Kerry was a little guy. Well, Kerry's not a little guy anymore. And what happened is that, excuse me, Kerry Booth has, as time has gone, especially in the last year, he's really blown up. That's why I was kidding around with somebody. I said, just get to the signing day. Just get the signature. Move on. And then Logan Himes, another four-star kid. And this is, and the key is to stack classes, and based on positional balance, based on talent, it looks like, Micah Shrewsbury's doing that. So really, it's a great day for them. Great day for them.
Two top 30 classes in a row.
Yeah. To do that, that's big. That's really big. And, congrats to them because they've worked hard at it. They've worked hard at it. Although, I had to laugh because they listed, lead recruiter. So, Kerry Booth. I knew Adam was the lead recruiter with Kerry Booth. In fact, I was there the night they made the first contact with him on a Zoom call. No, I did not go. He said, "You want to come in?" I said, no, I don't want to come in. You just call him yourself. Because I think I should stay out of that stuff. And so I knew Adam was. And then it turned out with Logan Himes, Adam was the lead recruiter there. Adam Fisher, I'm talking about. Lead recruiter for Braden Shrewsbury. Micah Shrewsbury. Okay, that makes sense. So...
I don't think you can get any easier than that, and especially with recruiting nowadays.
Well, you know what, though? It is yes and no. As a father, believe me, anybody who coaches their son, they'll tell you the same thing, at least the ones I've been around that have coached their sons over time. They usually want the player to be one of two things, either the best player on the team or the worst. And I'm just, and you're like, okay, what does that mean? In other words, are you one of those bench guys? You come off the bench, and then people are questioning, are you taking minutes away from somebody? You see what I mean?
Yep. You that's know? Very true.
Right. Now you're only doing because it's your kid. It's like, and of course, I feel about listening to people. Yeah. Right. Good. Thanks. Appreciate you. Yeah. Love you.
Really? I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Like, good. Great. Right. So. It's the scheme. Okay, good. Tell me more about it. I'd like to know what you think of the scheme. They don't play the best players. I agree with you. You're right. They don't. I don't know why. Always love that one. Those are the two I love more than anything. It's the scheme. Oh, it's the scheme. It's the play calling. And they don't play the best players. Really? They don't play the best players. So you think they sit down in a room and they say, you know what? I think Mike and Bob, I think we'll sit them this week. You want to know why? Because I think it would make the game more competitive. We'll play these two guys. No, that's not how it works. I always love it. They all play the best players. No, pretty much that's one of the goals. Oh, my goodness. And also, it's, how do you fit in the lineup, too? But that's a different topic. But great, they've stacked classes. See, that's what football's trying to do with this current recruiting class, stacking classes. And basketball's doing that. They're stacking classes. You know what's interesting? This is a side note. We got what Timmy B coming out at what 3:35 today?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is a side note. You know what was disappointing in the ratings over the weekend? And I only saw it today, so I did not even think about it until somebody else actually pointed it out to me. You know the Notre Dame Clemson game only got 2.3 million viewers?
There was a lot going on that night, so I can't say I'm shocked by that.
No, but I mean, it's just saying, but this has been... When Notre Dame got the contract years ago, okay, and you looked at, it's like, wow, boy, that's Notre Dame football. They're going to be, I mean, that's going to be a powerhouse for NBC. It hasn't turned out that way.
No, absolutely right.
And I'm talking about, for me, the idea that it didn't turn out that way goes back 25 years ago. And I'm looking around going, wow, this is not quite what the ratings juggernaut I thought it was going to be. Just my opinion. Notre Dame does not draw, for whatever reason, great ratings on NBC, even when they have great matchups. But yeah, there's a lot going on, but it's still Notre Dame football, right? Took on Clemson, and they got like, I think they had fewer viewers than Penn State, Indiana.
Yeah, from that perspective, that's not good. But based on factors we've talked about and what was going on that night at the same time, I can't say I'm shocked by that. But yeah, it's a problem. But
Penn State, Indiana was opposite Georgia and Tennessee.
Yep.
Okay. Notre Dame, Clemson was opposite LSU and Alabama and the World Series. And I'll be honest with you, the World Series probably got knocked down a few pegs in the ratings, too, because LSU, Alabama, I think, got like 10 million viewers. I'm kind of wondering if maybe it outdrew the World Series. Because the World Series was on a Saturday night. A lot of drama had been kind of sucked out of it, because when they went to Philadelphia and the crowd's going crazy, I know you're shocked they didn't intimidate the Astros. No.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
We're intimidating. Actually, you're not. But you're a great crowd, though. I love having, you know, you are a phenomenal crowd. And they are phenomenal. So we have Tim Brando today. We have Zach Showers, because you have to do the roundtable today. They're playing tomorrow. And then Jeff Byers today. Sound good?
Works for me.
On Penn State Wrestling?
Yeah, they're gearing up too.
They start with Lock Haven on Friday night.
There you go.
And they don't have to wrestle in the rain.
No.
They don't. It's good news. What do you think?
Let's go.
But yeah, it's going to pour on Friday.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means about what it's going to mean for the parking lots here on Saturday. I don't know.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
The ground here is not saturated. It's not. I mean, we've had some rain, but man, we haven't, you know, I go through my yard, for example. I can use my yard as an example. I'm 3 miles from the stadium, so there's no real difference in terms of the soil. And, it's not, like, rock hard, but it's not soft either. You know what I mean? So I just don't know what that's going to mean for the parking lots up at Beaver Stadium, whether, like, it's going to rain so much it's just going to turn into a mud bath, or whether it runs off. I don't know. But we're talking about, what are they talking about there, 2-3 inches of rain?
Two to four has been the call as of right now.
And you're going to get more there than here.
Right.
Right, because this is more to the further east you go, the more rain you'll get. We'll see. And the other question is, how late into the night does it extend?
Right now, for at least for here, they're saying 7 to 7.
To 7 in the morning?
7 in the morning to 7 at night on Friday. Are the latest forecast that I've seen.
Oh, 7 in the morning, 7 at night on Friday.
Yeah.
So not into the night.
That's from the latest that I've seen from the tracking, yeah.
Let's see here.
So that would help.
Let's see. The forecaster I use is not totally reliable because they only have 47 states on their map. Just kidding.
Oh, my almighty!
What? Look, I go with the cheap, easy jokes. You know that.
Yes, I do.
And everybody like, hey, I got that. Yeah. So, what bothers me is like the guy over in Turbotville. That's 47. Are there more than 47? No, it's just. It's like trying to communicate with the suit. Same thing. Let's see. Rain starts here Friday at 7 a.m. Okay. 5 still raining. Now here it goes 5 a.m. Saturday morning. 5 a.m. Saturday morning is the last time it rains here.
Ooh.
Let's see. What does it say here?
Good thing it's a 3:30 kick then.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what they're going to do. Don't know. I'm just a simple broadcaster. They point him toward the field. I talk. I'm not the staff meteorologist. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, Tim Brando in the next half hour. He'll call the game on Fox on Saturday with Spencer Tillman. And then Josh Showers and Jeff Byers, all on today's show. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which is so important, and a fabulous service department that backs it all up at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time to be joined by one of the best that has graced our business, and that is Tim Brando, who will have the Penn State call on Saturday with Maryland. Welcome back, my friend. Great to have you with us.
Well, we're still waiting on him, actually, so hopefully he'll be here in the next couple of minutes.
You're killing me. You're killing me. Come up with this great
I just talked
intro
to him not too long ago, but it's going to his voicemail, so hopefully we'll connect here in the next couple of minutes.
I mean, you wake up every day just like, I'm going to wreck the show. I'm going to ruin it. Is that, is that a goal? Is it something like when you were sitting there with the suit, and he said, I'd like you to take over the show. Here are some tips.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
We will adjust. It's no problem. No problem. So. By the way, who do the Eagles have this week?
Home against the Washington Commanders on Monday Night Football.
That's right. Taylor Heineke. Monday night. Yeah, I'll be able to watch that. No, I won't be able to watch. That's right.
You'll be on the call.
I've got Butler that night. Butler won its opener over New Orleans. A couple of transfers in there that played really well. Or a Thad Mata, not a deep team. They forced 30 turnovers in that game. Like 30 turnovers. Are you kidding me? Time you turn around, they're running the other way. But yeah. So we'll get to Tim here in a second and talk with him. I think you were asking like when the last time he was here, and I think he was here for the Kent State game, and I know he did a game with Buffalo, which is a night game that John Reed ran an interception back for a touchdown. I know Tim did that game. So, yeah, he's been back here a couple times. We were kidding around, Don Fisher and I, last week, or Don was kidding around about the Sam Licklider game. Yeah. And I said, well, the third member of the broadcasting group, I said, that survived that was Tim Brando. So Tim, Don, and I are the three that did that game. He says, yeah, he said, I have fond memories of it. He said, I have no fond memories of it. What are you talking about, Don? I have no fond memories of that game. What are you talking about? I told Don it was interesting for years because, I mean, as a game, it was a great game and a riveting game, double overtime. I said, but Don, I said, I had Penn State fans coming. That was the greatest game. I was like, going, he says, what do you think? And I said, I don't think it's the greatest game. They lost. What the heck? He thought I was laughing about that. He says, yeah, I can understand that. He said, I thought it was a pretty good game. I said, yeah, I know you would. I know you would. You know, it's interesting. LSU-Alabama game. Alabama had 12 guys in the field for the two-point conversion. And so they had to call a timeout, which was their, if I recall correctly, it was their last timeout. Then when they came out of the timeout, Alabama still had 12 guys in the field. And they were running somebody off. And what happened was LSU ran motion pre-snap. And normally when you're coaching, and you have a timeout in your back pocket, they'll run motion, which then at least is tipping what they're thinking. You'll call timeout, and then you can adjust. Because Alabama had to use the timeout because they had 12 guys in the field. They were out of timeouts. And then they were confused and had 12 guys on the field again. I mean, that was like interesting. Interesting. And I'm glad Brian Kelly went for two. Because I think it's great that he wanted to win the game right then and there. Can you blame him? All right. Now my guy's here. He is the best, right? In this business, there's just certain people you just look at and go, yep, there's one of the greats. Tim Brando, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be back with you.
I think Kent State, maybe Buffalo, last couple times you were in here.
Yeah, I think that was the last one. I was asking your producer, what year was that? Do you remember? I think that was an opener, or close to an opener, maybe the second or third week.
Yeah, something like that. So it's just good you're going to get back in here. Not only that, it's a Big Ten game.
Yeah.
On top of that.
So I'm excited about it. I am.
Yeah.
I'll get the full Happy Valley treatment this time. Right?
Yeah, you'll get the full treatment this time as to what's going on. Conference game. Yeah. You get to pronounce Tonga Viola all day. That's great.
the last really meaningful game, big time game that I did was pre Big Ten. It was the late Vince Dooley and I came in to do it, and Major Harris was coming off a run to the national championship in the the game against Notre Dame the year before.
Yep, Fiesta Bowl.
Yep. And so it was the 89 season, and Penn State, West Virginia was a big, I mean, big game. And it was a great environment. I want to say it was a little bit wet. I had a little rain on the terrain there in Happy Valley.
Yep.
And it was just a wonderful place to be. But, you know, Penn State, and that stadium is a fantastic one. And it was one of the very few, Steve, I was familiar with when I started doing Big Ten games. I'd never been to the Shoe. I'd never been to the Big House. And but I had been to State College, and it's obviously a much bigger place now, much more vast. You know, over 100,000 now. It wasn't at that time, but Beaver Stadium is, you know, I don't care how many people are in the stands. Beaver Stadium is hallowed ground.
Yeah, well, can we give you a fun side story on that 89 game? Right, they come in now the year before, and I don't have to tell you, Tim knows.
Yeah.
West Virginia was great, and they beat Penn State down in Morgantown. So they come up into Beaver Stadium, and of course the Mountaineer comes in, and he has the gun. Right? And Joe Paterno sent out instructions to the people. He says, he's not allowed to fire that gun in the stadium. And they're following him all over the place all day. As a side note, I'm sitting in the broadcast booth going, okay, that's don't watch it. Don't watch that.
Well, I had my Penn State opportunities before I got into the booth. I was sort of the host / sideline guy on CFA football in '86. That was a big introductory season for me at ESPN. It was before we started College Game Day, and I got to call from the sidelines and host Penn State at Boston College. I'd come down for a Penn State game at home. Oh my gosh, that same year, I'm trying to remember who it was that played, but it was in the '86 season. Mike Patrick and Pat McAnally were calling the games, and I was, you know, 30 years old and just a little raw, a little green, and my quest was to get my literal quest was to get Joe to stop. To get Bud Thalman, the SID at that time, to get Joe to stop, so I could interview him, when the game was over, and Bud told me that I would be, and this was a game that was, it might have been, in fact, I think it was maybe, it was at West Virginia that particular year. I want to say we might have been at West Virginia, the '86 game that Penn State played West Virginia.
Penn State shut him out. Penn State shut him out. Yep.
Yeah, Bud told me if I wanted to get Joe, I would be very wise to go out to the team hotel on Saturday morning and do his brother George's radio show. I'm telling the truth, okay?
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, where are you guys staying? And it was, Morgantown didn't have a lot of places. Yeah. And to get anywhere from Morgantown meant, as many two-lane highways as you have coming into Happy Valley, okay?
Yeah.
So I got up at dawn and began my drive to the hotel to visit with George. And I don't know who the co-host was, but, I just knocked on the door of the hotel room and went in and did the show. And so now the game's over, and I'm running towards Bud. And I said, Bud, I did the show. Now get him.
That
was the thing, was just getting Joe was running. He was always running. And Bud had to run him down from behind him. And he was like, no, he's tough. But Brando did the show with George.
And you know where it was? It was in Washington, PA. It wasn't even in West Virginia.
Yeah,
because that's where he stayed. He's like, my goodness.
Yeah, but I have faith.
Those are
great memories. I've got some old pictures from that I'll be putting out on social media tomorrow.
That's awesome.
You can take a look at them.
That's great. Hey, what do you think of the state of college football is right now? You go around, you see it all the time. You have definite opinions of it. You know, now it's the college football playoff rankings are out. So what do you think? How good is the game right now in your opinion, pro and con?
Well, I think it's wonderful. And
yeah,
all the doomsayers back in the summer that were saying, oh, the NIL and the transfer portal is just killing the game and it's awful, it's not the game that we remember and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I'm sorry. Those same people, and I know who they are because they're all of my generation. Most of them were, you know, 60 or over, predicting this doom and gloom. And I'm like, did you enjoy last week? Yeah, those were unbelievable games. And, you know, they were. College football is always going to deliver, you know. And if you're looking at it solely from your team's point of view, you may not get it. So, you know, as you know, I don't root for any teams. I may root for a few people that I like more than others, but I don't root for teams. I do root for the game. I want the game to grow. I want the game to be bigger and better than it is. And I think we're well on our way to that being the case. I'm frustrated, as I always am this time of year, when the committee has these godforsaken Tuesday night shows. Fortunately, most of America was watching election coverage last night, as opposed to watching the dog and pony show that poor Reese Davis and all those game day guys have to do by contract. I know they don't want to do it because all you do as you watch that show is get pissed off. There's a level of pissed off after one segment, and then by the time they get to the third block, you're ready to just throw, you know, substances at the television set, you know, when you hear these conversations. And everybody involved, including Boo Corrigan, who is the late, great Gene Corrigan's son, who was a outstanding athletic director at Notre Dame and later ACC commissioner, was one of my dearest friends. And Boo and his brother Tim, who was a producer at ESPN, they're both great friends of mine. But, I mean, they give him these talking points, and he contradicts himself with every statement. Every guy that's ever been in that position contradicts himself with every statement he makes. And they're just talking points that make no sense. And until we go to 12, and I really believe before we get to 12, I think they're going to settle on 16. That's my little...
I agree. Yeah, you and I agree on that. Yep.
I think television is going to force them, when they look at the numbers, Steve, they're going to realize how much money they're leaving on the table by not having more volume and inventory, and the heartache for teams 1 through 4 that don't get a home game, and teams 5 through 8 that do. So why not allow 1 through 4 to play and give 13, 14, 15, and 16 a shot? You don't, you know, you've got a bye week in there. You're not going to lose any, you know, it's not going to make it any longer, the process. You're just going to have more games, and more games means more revenue. So I think they will settle at 16 when they finally get to that finish line, whenever it is, but between now and 2026. But the state of college football, in my opinion, has never been better. And the coaches that have learned and embraced the changes that have been brought forth from NIL and the transfer portal are doing really well. And those that aren't or haven't are struggling with it. And if they're at a point in their careers where they feel like, you know, I just don't want to go through this, then they can retire. Okay?
Yeah.
And if they aren't, then they're going to have to embrace it. They're going to have to adapt with the times. And I think for the most part, they have. So I feel like the state of the game is really good. We need to regulate the portal. I think everybody understands that. And if these 4 Senate elections that are still out there end up in the Republicans' corner, then I think we'll find a way to get some regulations done. I do. I think if 2 parties are at a tug of war, I think that it's going to be hard to get anyone to listen to something as trite as an issue in college football. But I think if you have one party in control of both the House and the Senate, I think there'll be some willing ears in terms of trying to protect the game of college football. So we'll see. But I do think that it needs to happen. And it's not like the ship is so far out to sea that we can't get it into more calm waters. I think we can find a way. We're not going to bring it. You're not bringing the ship back into the dock, but you need to find some calmer waters for what we're doing with the transfer portal, so we can stabilize it some. That's what's needed.
Right. I agree completely with that. Any thoughts on, and as you've done your homework on this Penn State football team to this point?
I love the way Clifford has responded, and what was, I think, going to be a very difficult year for him if he hadn't stepped up. I think you guys, for the most part, if you can get the run game going, I know this sounds cliche, but if the run game is there, then it opens up so much more for you.
Yep.
I frankly thought the Ohio State game was yours to take. I thought you just sort of gift wrapped it at the end. And, of course, Ohio State had a lot to do with that. Their defense is so improved under Jim Knowles. And, you know, they fooled Penn State a few times with their coverages because of what Knowles does. He takes some chances, and they were able to convert on some of those chances late in the game. And I thought that's what turned it. But I think this has been a much improved Penn State team this year. I think James has got to be really happy with the progress made. Now it's about finishing the deal. You know, you've got a good season underway that could end really great for you if you can run the table. But look, this bunch coming in here is going to put some pressure on your defense. They've got some really good skilled players and a quality quarterback. So, and they're smarting a little bit after what happened with Wisconsin. You know, they got shut down in ways that they haven't been in preceding weeks against anybody. So, and at the same time, Penn State can kind of look at what Wisconsin did and say, okay, you know, we see some weaknesses there, and we should be in good shape. Contrasting styles, too, Steve, which should make for a very entertaining game. Spencer and I are really looking forward to it. We've been spending most of our weeks lately in the Pac-12 and Big 12, so we're really happy to be back in the Big 10 with a game that should have a lot of eyeballs coming off Big Noon. That's generally a good spot for the next game to get a really good rating, so we're enthused and happy to be there.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thanks so much for doing this today. I really appreciate it, Tim, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Well, I'm just sorry I was a little bit late to the party. When you become a granddad, you know, your daughter calls and she suddenly needs you to do something because the 5-year-old is sick, and we got to pick up the 3-year-old who was at the, you know, getting whatever done, and so boom, you just do it. And that's what Big Daddy B does for his grandkids. And
I have 7
back home from that.
I have 7, so I know.
Not grandbabies.
7 grandkids. Yes.
No, Steve, you're kidding me.
Yes.
Wow.
No.
My goodness.
No.
How many kids? How many
5
children?
5. 4 of the 5 have children.
Okay. All right. Well, I only had 2 girls, but they've given me 4 grandbabies.
What
between
a blessing.
Them. It's a blessing. It's so underrated.
Yeah. You cannot overrate grandkids. You cannot. There's no such thing.
That's right. Take care, my friend.
You too. Thanks. Timmy B, Tim Brando joining us on the show. Zach Showers next half hour. Because of Showers, the game's going to be played tomorrow night.
Ah,
maybe
there you go.
Maybe it's more than showers. It's going to be a downpour Friday night. So because of that, no guts, no glory. They'll play tomorrow. I think it's because Jersey Shore wants to play tomorrow. The ceiling's gross. They're tough kids. They, you know, they play no matter what. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. They'll be ready to go.
Yeah, but see, I think Jersey Shore doesn't want to play on Friday night. That's what I think.
Could be
that's
true.
That's what the suit says. I mean, you know, and you know how popular he is.
Oh, I know. Believe me.
Whoo, boy. Tell you right now. He's one of the few broadcasters ever to go into a visiting booth and have protesters. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.